Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from the scriptures in Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at the feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now our text tells us something about this woman, the woman of the text, that ought to be true about every one of us. People have a tendency at times to become very self-sufficient, especially is this true when they are prosperous materially. They get the feeling that, well, they have the world on a string, and they may realize that they have some needs, but they are confident that whatever they need, they can provide for themselves by themselves. Now, this self-sufficiency grows sometimes to the point where one is so independent that he thinks he needs nobody for anything, and he can handle everything by himself. But regardless of how self-sufficient a person may think he has become in many matters, none will ever outgrow the need that this woman of our text realized. Friend, listen, she knew she needed Christ. And there's not one of us who does not need Christ. It is somewhat bewildering that this primary theme of the Bible is denied by so many people. We need for Christ, and our need for Christ surpasses our need for anything and everything else in life. Even though many do not believe this, why, it's true nonetheless, and their disbelief does not change that. We can include man's need for food and shelter and clothing and for medicine, whatever. And these are important needs in the physical realm without which we could not survive. But there are needs more important than our physical needs. Friend, we have spiritual needs. Because these needs are not tangible and therefore are not readily recognized as the physical ones, some have mistakenly relegated them to a secondary, almost an unimportant position. May I send to you the warning from God that we not make that mistake? For if we do, the time will come when we will see that God did not warn us needlessly, but then it will be too late for us to do anything about it. And why is our need for Christ so great? Friend, it is because Christ supplies for us our spiritual needs, our greatest needs. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. From the Apostle Paul, written to the Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Man's greatest need is his spiritual need, and his need for forgiveness of sins, because that's what separates him from God. He needs the salvation of the soul. Now, man's spiritual condition is that he is in sin with only doom and damnation awaiting him. Paul says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. In Romans 6:17 he said, Ye were the servants of sin. And all can say, along with Achan and David, the Israelites, and many others, I have sinned. And even Christians can say, We have sinned. 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 10. Man is spiritually diseased with sin. His greatest need is a cure from that malady. And without Christ, man remains lost in his sins. He cannot find his way back to God by himself. Man cannot direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Paul spoke of the Christian's plight before he became a Christian, and he described him as being alienated from God, separate from Christ, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. Friend, this is the condition that we all have if we have not yet come to the Savior. We need Christ. Now, the woman who came to the Pharisee's house and anointed the feet of Jesus, she came because she realized she needed him. And she did not allow her pride to prevent her from showing honor unto Christ. She had no self-righteousness to blind her to her spiritual condition. It may make you angry to be informed that you are lost outside of Christ. It may make you angry to learn that you stand condemned. But friend, is it not better to know that while there is something you can do about it and to correct it, than to be allowed to finish your life and then face God unprepared? Now, this woman was honest with herself. She knew she needed forgiveness. She knew she needed Christ. And I'm wondering, how many of us will admit the same thing? Now, you might be inclined to defend yourself against the charge of sin, but you keep in mind who has made that charge. That charge has come from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. You may dislike, well, say, the preacher when he brings this to your attention, but you keep in mind, when the preacher tells us that we all have sinned, he's only preaching God's message. Would a preacher be honest with his commitment if he did not encourage people to be honest with themselves and to see their need of Christ? Friend, you need Christ because you're lost in sin, and Christ is the only Savior. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," and he added, "of whom I am chief." Friend, it is by and through Christ that we're brought to God. It's by and through Christ that we can be forgiven of that barrier between us and God. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Christ." Because we separate ourselves from God by our sins, as Isaiah tells us in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, we cannot save ourselves by ourselves. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We need a Savior. And Christ is not only man's Savior, he is the only Savior that man has. Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Friend, this is the good news of the gospel of Christ. You need Christ because he does for you what no one else can do, and what you cannot possibly do for yourself. Christ is the one that gives us salvation upon certain conditions being met. And regardless of how righteous you might be from this moment in your life, this would not erase one single sin that you have committed. Now, this does not mean that doing good and being good is without value. Those who follow Christ are expected to be people who are zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. But it is to emphasize the insufficiency of our goodness to save ourselves. There have been those who have concluded that they're so morally good, not doing many of the evils that some practice, they've decided that they don't need a Savior. But friend, this is a mistaken notion, and the people who believe that are deceived. Why, we read in the Bible of people like Cornelius and Lydia and the Ethiopian and many others. They were good moral people, but they were lost until they came to Christ to be saved. Now, if you believe what the Scripture teach, you have to believe you are lost without Christ. Surely you want to be saved. Surely you want heaven to be your eternal home. But friend, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, and not all will inhabit heaven. No sin is going to be allowed in heaven. The very presence of God demands that our sins be removed through forgiveness if we see God in all of His glory. Therefore, we must come to Christ and be forgiven according to the terms of His gospel. Now, there are many who have been like this woman. They've seen this sinfulness. They've desired salvation. They've realized the inability to save themselves, and they've come to Christ. They are now among the redeemed. But have you seen that same need? And have you come to Christ? How does one come to the Savior? Friend, the Bible teaches us that Christ is the author of salvation. But who does He save? Hebrews 5 and verse 9, He's the author of salvation to them that obey Him. We must learn what the Lord commands, and then we must humbly submit in obedience and conform to what He directs. A study of the conversions, as is found in the book of Acts, is most profitable. When we read what the apostles taught and what people did back in New Testament times to be saved, how they came to Christ, this is exactly what Jesus said had to be proclaimed. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 8 and verse 24. We are commanded to repent of our sins, Luke 13 and verse 3. And we must confess our faith in Christ, like the Ethiopian in Acts 8 and verse 37. And Paul tells us that we're baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Christ said we're baptized in order to be saved, Mark 16:16. Now those in New Testament times who did this, the Lord added them to His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And so it shall be even today. All those who will hear the gospel, who will believe the gospel, who will obey the gospel by doing the things that He has taught and commanded us to do, we will be as were those people then. They were forgiven. They were added to the family of God. They became citizens in His kingdom, and they lived in the hope of eternal salvation with God. My dear listening friend, only by coming to Christ will you fulfill the greatest need that you have. And I would plead with you this very day to obey the gospel. Come to Christ, your greatest need. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.